broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues. This is indeed the broadcast for May 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers and protect God, family, and country. Hope you're doing great. And I'm telling you right now, we are live for Memorial Day. The first hour, we broke down Memorial Day like no other. We want to tell you to be very humble, very reflective this day, and stand for liberty for the rest of your life. Last hour is an absolute listen to hour. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, did a wonderful job as we broke down Memorial Day, the history of it, what it is, how we ought to behave, what's going on, and put it into relevant reality. But, you know, interestingly enough, with a long weekend like this, the mainstream press loves to bury all kinds of news. They release all kinds of interesting news tidbits. It's been a long holiday weekend, so we can't just ignore the news. And so on Friday, we talked about Shauna Cox contradicts Sheriff Richard Mack. Readout News.com with a piece. We talked all hour about the Ammon Bundy situation. A lot of people are very critical of us attacking Sam Bushman and Richard Mack and others. We're doing an investigation into what happened to Ammon Bundy and the abuse that he's taken. There's no doubt mistakes by the jail. But you know what? There's not a big conspiracy to abuse Ammon Bundy. It isn't true. And a lot of the abuse we hear about isn't even factual. But just because we say that, don't shoot the messenger. We're doing all we can to help Ammon Bundy, folks, and we will continue to do just that. And while critics are everywhere, we are doing our very best to help Ammon get his commissary privileges back and helping the sheriff and Ammon have a meeting, because we believe those will bear the greatest fruit when it comes to treating Ammon appropriately, as we really want Ammon to behave in a way following Joseph of Egypt's example in prison, biblically speaking. We really want Ammon's behavior to make sure that it helps his case, not hinders his case. But we are working with Lisa Bundy and others to bring about some positive changes for Ammon and the suffering folks in prison. And more importantly, not only are we dealing with Ammon's case and those who are in jail with Ammon, we bring a broader discussion to the table. There's innocence in prison. There's violations of the due process of law everywhere. And if we're going to think of Memorial Day, it's a time to think about this critical issue, too. How do we make sure we don't have innocence in prison? How do we make sure that people do have their due process rights? That is our quest. If you want to learn more about our broad-based efforts in that regard, thefreedomcoalition.com is where you go. Thefreedomcoalition.com. And the investigative report created by former Sheriff Richard Mack and former police officer Rick Dalton, both well-known, experienced investigators. They wrote a report on their investigation with Ammon Bundy and crew. It is available at thefreedomcoalition.com, and then go to the news section. It's the blog there. And there's an update written about that. We're not really interested in taking on Shauna Cox or that debate or taking on anybody else who feels differently. We are interested in coming together to say, let's focus on what we agree on. Let's focus on how we can make a difference. That was hour one on Friday. Hour two, we talked about the U.S. Pentagon literally lost track of nearly $8 billion of arms sent to Iraq. And how do we have peace when we lose $8 billion of weapons in a country we ought not breach the sovereignty of and ought not be involved in at all? We talked about Ben Carson and this idea that they say he called poverty a state of mind. Ben Carson, quote, "If everybody had a mother like mine, nobody would be in poverty." And he's been beaten up over that, but it's true that we ought to look at, instead of attacking Ben Carson, what made the change in his family? What made the change for Ben? How come he started out in poverty but turned it around and became a very, very successful physician and more? And how do we duplicate that for Americans across the country? Black, white, Asian, who cares? How do we give them the opportunity for the American dream? And Ben Carson hit on one of the great solutions. It's a state of mind. And it's those whom you associate with, and it's hope in the future and in America. Hope in God, family, and country. All right, we also talked about the winner of Miss Black Texas 2016. She got in a big old battle, and we don't want to talk about that, but why do we have a Miss Black 2016 in Texas? What about a Miss White 2016 for Texas, huh? Or ought we just have Miss America or Miss Texas 2016 and not get into the racial divide? Better yet, why do we exploit women at all? Why don't we not have these pageants that really, in my opinion, turn into a... I'm trying to be careful here, folks. This is a family program. How do we celebrate women for who they really are as daughters of God, as God's crown creation, as equal in rights but different to men? Male and female created them, and the talents and capabilities of a woman and the talents and capabilities of a man are not adversarial but complementary. How do we get there? That's what we take out of the headlines from the mainstream press. How many other talk shows do that? We talked about Ron Paul. He says, if you agree, please sign the End the Fed, End the Ed petition, meaning Ed the Federal Reserve and End the Education Department. Boy, is that spot on. We talked about the Federal Trade Commission leading the way on regulatory reforms. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, brought that out, and it's a great example of how to make changes in America that are positive and solutions-oriented. We need a simplified, more unified safety net with fewer programs that could save literally millions and billions of dollars with no reduction in compassion. That was in Forbes magazine. Maybe Trump's budget can start a conversation about a modern, private sector, church, faith-based, led safety net. All right, we also talked about Twitter suspends news agency. Anyway, because of the Seth Rich report, the details are Bob Unruh, WND.com. The Seth Rich scenario is a fiasco covered up by government. You bring it up and ask Sean Hannity, you get fired. There's a bombshell, though. Donna Razzle warned off the private eye on Seth Rich murder. We need to dig into that, folks. Also, sadly, but Black Lives Matter honored with, quote, Peace Prize from Sydney Peace Foundation. Amber Randall, Daily Caller, brought that piece forward. David A. Clark Jr., well-known black sheriff from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, wisely says, look, these Black Lives Matter folks are terrorists, and I agree with that. All right, we also talked about the Kellogg Community College arresting students for distributing constitutions. All that is news that we brought out on Friday as folks were gearing up for a weekend of partying. But we need to be reflective and think of the news. And since then, I mean, think about how relevant those headlines are now that we released on Friday. But now today, most folks aren't even live. Most folks aren't even paying attention. But there are people getting ready for their family day, putting together the barbecue or getting, you know, food ready and such that are listening to this program. We want to spend time with you. We want to spend time thinking about Memorial Day. It's a federal holiday to remember. But a day not only to have reflection on the past, but to look forward to the future with hope in our hearts as we celebrate the Prince of Peace, which I believe, focusing on the Savior Jesus Christ and his life and his sacrifice, is the key. We can do more for the protection, more for the salvation of men and women by turning to the Jesus Christ, or turning to Jesus Christ, which should be the example in our lives. Kirk Crosby, on that note, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. And by the way, if there's, you know, if we're going to change the hearts and minds of men, and if we're going to turn away from being a warlike people, if we're going to turn away from the poverty and the struggles and the nonsensical government interventions and the warlike mentality, and if we're going to turn away from all that, we need a solution. We need a direction. I can't think of anything better than teaching and preaching and focusing on the Prince of Peace, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our nation used to have that as the focal point. And if we're going to make America great again, we're only going to do it by returning to that reality. Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam, and yet I don't know how you could bring up a more politically incorrect topic, you know?
Leave it to me, my friend.
Which, of course, means it's very vital to talk about, you know, at least yes. In my opinion.
And we need to really consider, are we going to end up with a banana republic in the United States? Is that what kind of elections we seem to have when all the elections are vote fraud and debated? And I mean, the Democrats still believe that it's fraudulent that Donald Trump was elected. Let's talk about that, because it's critical if we're going to think about our future and reflect on our past, right? We are live for Memorial Day. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The headline is Banana Republic Election in the United States. Now, I know you think this isn't a Memorial Day discussion, but I submit that it is, because if a free people wants to remain free, and if we want to stay that beacon on a hill or return to that beacon on a hill status, where we follow the Prince of Peace and teach others to do the same. It's going to start here, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And I was just, as you look through the different articles and different things, it's interesting to see what's available. Now, this stuff, talking about vote fraud and voting, that kind of stuff, is something they don't really want to bring up. It's kind of like the crazy aunt in the basement. It's just something that you don't want to hear about. I mean, you really don't want to accept that. And yet this piece from what's called PravdaReport.com says Banana Republic Election in the United States. And then a subheadline, nothing is more hypocritical than to hear that the U.S. government is going to send, quote, election observers, end quote, to other countries. For nowhere on the planet are elections more easily rigged than in the United States of America. And then they quote some of our favorite buddies about this whole thing, the Collier brothers, in what's in their book called Vote Scam, The Stealing of America. It's a 1992 book, by the way, where they go in depth as to why they say this. And, you know, they talk about computers and voting machines and how they're effectively immune from checking and rechecking. If they're fixed, you can't know it. You can't be sure at all of an honest tally. You know, and there have been movies about this, different things, and yet, as far as I can tell, Sam, nobody really wants to go to this kind of stuff. They want to, like, there was a recent story where it talked about, that there were people that were registered in two different states, but why don't we see real reporting about this kind of stuff, Sam?
Well, and it's something we got to really dig into the details of, too. I think a lot of times the mainstream is too afraid to report on it. Donald Trump talked about it big time when he was running for office. He doesn't talk about it much now, but he did put together some kind of a presidential commission to dig into it. I hope it's not a way of backing away. I hope it's a true effort to get to the bottom of it. But these are critical components. You know, you talk about the book Vote Scam that was written back in, 92? We used to interview the folks that were involved in that. And, you know, they really have some valid points. And there's two critical components, really, to Americans' voting rights, Kurt. One is the ability to cast a ballot. But then the other is the ability for us to verify the vote count or that the ballots are accurate, right?
Well, yeah. For example, like this is part of this rather lengthy story. It says, every few hours, one of the big networks are running a story about how it would be almost impossible to rig a national election. Now, this is, you know, well, of course, when elections are being talked about. But the networks had to report between airing these stories, just recently that eBay, Twitter, and the New York Times websites had been hacked, thus totally undermining their stories about the safety of election computers. You know, it's like what we see just now, Sam, what over the weekend you had British Airways, pretty big operation, and yet, they call it an IT meltdown there. I suspect that there's more than just somebody unplugged some computer or something, where they had basically 1,000 flights grounded over the weekend, people not being able to get to their holiday, they lost luggage, stranded on aircraft, all this stuff. And they say in the story there's no evidence of a cyber attack. What do you say, Sam?
I say we come back to this same thing where, you know what, there's not going to be any evidence, Kurt, if you don't dig, whether it's vote fraud, whether it's that scenario, whatever it be. Look, if we're just going to bury it, if we're not going to look for the who, what, when, where, why in a story, if we're not going to, look at reality, if we're just going to bury our heads in the sand and pretend things aren't the case, or, reality is things as they really are, Kurt. And the only way to know things as they really are is to dig into the who, what, when, where, why. But are we going to just gatekeep and manipulate,
right?
Or are we going to get to the bottom of it?
Well, I've said it before, but many times even Hollywood will kind of get into the, some of the truths that, you've just got to look deeper. And, it makes me think of the movie Man of the Year that was back in 2006, Robin Williams. And, it talks about computer software that was manipulated so that he could win the presidency. And if I just think that we're kidding ourselves, if we want to make America great again, we've got to be willing to go to the source of the problems. And I don't know that there's, you've already mentioned the Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, that kind of thing. And we've got to certainly have integrity of the vote, Sam.
Yeah, in fact, nothing is more hypocritical than to hear that the United States government is going to send, quote, election observers to other countries. Because you know what? It's easier to manipulate votes in the United States of America than almost anywhere, Kurt, because we have so much faith in the system to even bring up that there's an election fraud or to dig into it. Number one, they think you're a heretic for even bringing it up. But then two, it's very difficult to look into.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And
Kurt tried to look into it in his local municipality, right? You even tried to do that on the local level.
That's right. And you get told, oh, you know, you need to get back. You need to not, you're looking a little too close at this situation.
Well, the first thing they do is they look at you and they go, I'm in charge of the vote. How dare you question me, Kurt?
Yeah.
Are you calling me a liar? Are you saying that I've done something to compromise the integrity of the vote? Kurt might politely say, no, ma'am, no, sir, that's not at all my intent. We're not suggesting you've done anything wrong, but we are suggesting things may not be as they appear. And then the battle's on because you got this hardcore defense person taking it personally and literally, you know, then, you know, it gets very uncomfortable to call your neighbor a liar. And even though that's not what you did, that's the way it's taken. And now you're off to the races. And meanwhile, you're not even focusing on finding out or getting to the bottom of it or ensuring the integrity. Then you want to go ahead and watch the votes, Kurt, but you're not allowed to really watch, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to do what's called the vote listening.
Isn't that the blind leading the blind around? Sorry for a blind person to point this out, but hey.
Yeah, it's pretty much the way it is. You know, in this article, also talking about vote fraud in America, you know, they mentioned Nation Magazine, an article published in August of 2005 that was called How They Could Steal the Election This Time by a veteran reporter, Ronnie Duggar. And he says that only four mega election vendors, and he lists them there, they process 96% of the USA vote on election night.
Now, let me stop you there. Repeat that statement, because that statement alone is shocking. And by the way, it's true.
Well, you know, this thing called Nation Magazine published an article, and this was in August of 2005, and it was titled How They Could Steal the Election This Time. The veteran reporter's guy's name was Ronnie Duggar, and he said that in his article that only four mega election vendors, and he lists them, you know, there, he says they processed 96% of the USA vote on election night.
In other words, you got these private companies that have created computer software that cannot be analyzed, reviewed, criticized. And we look at, you know, the Pentagon gets broken into routinely. I mean, look, go look it up. You say Pentagon security or whatever. You can find all kinds of mainstream press articles talking about how the Pentagon's been compromised, the White House, the Republican National Committee, the Democratic National Committee, big corporations. I mean, they all get hacked. Credit card information, some of the most secure information. Government organizations like the Federal Reserve or the Social Security get broken into routinely. And then we're supposed to somehow believe that these private companies, four of them, control the software and nobody can hack them and you and I can't look into it or whatever at some point. And the article goes into this. When we come back on the other side, Kurt will bring up a couple of points about this software problem. But this is serious, folks, and we're not calling anybody a liar. We're merely telling you that we need integrity in our elections. Our nation's freedom depends on it.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The annual Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City rapidly losing its sponsors for this year's event due to a plan by the organizers to use the event to honor a convicted murderer and terrorist, Lopez Rivera. He was a member of the Armed Forces of National Liberation, responsible for over 100 bombings in Puerto Rico and the U.S. back in the 70s and 80s. He was serving life in prison for the death of four people in the 75 bombing of a tavern in New York City. His sentence was commuted, set free by Barack Obama just before he left office. Univision is the latest sponsor to follow others in leaving the event. Over the course of the past several days, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agents have arrested about 200 people in California. They were identified as being convicted criminals in this country illegally. Now, the crimes of which they were convicted or charged include drug trafficking, domestic violence, and sexual assault. The raids are fulfilling the campaign pledge of the president to deport illegals who have committed crimes. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. You know, it's interesting. Getting to the bottom of vote fraud, or ensuring the integrity of the vote, if you will, should be a very non-controversial, nonpartisan, you know what, we're all Americans, we all want the truth. Should be a very simple issue, Kurt. But sadly, it's become very divisive. In fact, to bring it up, you're a heretic. And I wonder why that is, Kurt. If everything's on the up and up, everybody should be interested in this, and everybody should be willing to make or ensure this, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd think that people would be quite concerned and, you know, very adamant about just making sure that, hey, America had an honest vote. Anyway, in this Pravda.com article, they quote, talk about C-SPAN in a, you know, story in 2016. They quote best-selling author Roger Stone, by the way, has been a guest on this program, how he asserted that it was dangerous not to ask questions about how the vote was counted. After all, he says the founding fathers did encourage a healthy skepticism of government, including the part of the government that runs the elections. The situation in the United States is absurd. The fact that the public has no guarantee that the vote is actually that of the people is insane and tears at the very fabric, it says, of democracy. I would say the very fabric of our republic. But anyway, you know, they talk about how press concern is so grave. This was especially when the, you know, Trump had brought it up, you know, like, oh, you know, there's no nothing here to see or anything. But they even quote computer expert Ethan Pepper. I guess he's really spiced things up. But anyway, he appeared on the Sean Hannity radio program and noted that any election computer can be hacked. That if you can get in, you can switch a million votes as easy as switching one vote. And he's also raised the question of who owns the election computer software by noting that George Soros was closely associated with those who provided 16 states with the Smart-O-Matic voting machines. You know, it just doesn't pass the smell test, as our buddy Chuck Harder would have said, Sam. You know, then they quote Fox News where they discussed the computer voting machines in Texas that were caught by numerous voters switching their Trump vote to a Hillary vote in early election voting. The phenomenon also surfaced in Maryland. I never had heard of that with a paper and a pencil. But, you know, you hear about it with computers. Anyway, the bottom line is, Sam, this is an issue that needs to be, drilled into and corrected to make America great again, right?
Yes, and what I find interesting is oftentimes when anybody wants to bring up vote fraud or question the integrity of the vote or spend their time to ensure that we do have, honesty and integrity in the vote count or in the elections, you know, not only are they called a heretic and mocked and abused, but then instead of dealing with the vote discussion, oftentimes it turns into a character assassination discussion. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you must have an agenda. And oftentimes, you know, when they attack the messenger, Kurt, that there's more here than meets the eye. I'm just telling you from experience, whenever we derail the discussion and start attacking a person or an individual or a group or whatever you want to say for pushing for something, we know that there's a problem there. Because why not just deliver transparency? Why not say, fine, let's get to the bottom of it? Why not let vote counters ensure? Why not, if we're so questioning the software, why not say we won't use that software? We're going to use a system that is transparent, that people can really, you know. Why do we have to have elections counted by foreign nations or reviewed by foreign nations? Or can't our local people in America and our local municipalities, if you have a county, can't you get the, what do they call them, the precincts to count and certify each precinct and send it in and then list the precincts publicly and then total up the precincts to get your total amount so that it's transparent and clear and easy to understand? Why can't that be done? Well, Sam, because we're in a computer age, it would take too long. Oh, yeah? Well, it takes just as long when they find out there's a problem or they have to investigate all these votes or they can't get totals because totals didn't get turned in. Or it wouldn't take very long. That's why we have precincts. It wouldn't take longer to count the vote than to cast the vote, would it, Kurt?
I don't think so, Sam. And,
let me say it again. It wouldn't take longer to count the vote than to cast the vote, for sure.
It sure would be nice to simply be able to say, hey, I'm sure that the voting was accurate and the reports, the final numbers are, they reflect what the people voted, wouldn't it?
Amen to that. All right, this weekend we need to talk about a murder that took place in Washington, D.C. The guy's name is Seth Rich. He was a DNC man, a Democratic National Committee man. But he was uncomfortable with the things that he saw coming out of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and he spoke up, and, well, now he's dead. Now, we bring this up, and they say we're involved in a conspiracy theory. However, the conspiracy theory from the Washington, D.C. police is that, well, he somehow ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it was a robbery gone botch or gone bad, and poor Seth is dead, but we're not going to look into it. We're not going to discuss this. Sean Hannity stood up, but he almost lost his job. Either he'll walk and stand up or he'll back down. Time will tell. But in the meantime, there's articles coming out, Seth Rich assassinated for truth. Now, I've never seen this news service before, Kurt. But it's important. What is this? It's like BravdaReport.com?
Yeah, Pravda. Basically, Pravda. It's like a, the old phrase for the Russians, Russia, whatever. And so, I look at it and say, well, remember
really
the
Russian
source.
Slang for my deal, but,
Yeah, well, see, but these guys, I think, are pointing this out because, see, remember, our standard media is basically saying, hey, the Russians are the evil guys. And what these guys are pointing out, I think,
not the Russians that I work with aren't the evil guys, Kurt.
Well, I know. I think these guys are pointing out that, hey, the real story here has to do with this whole Seth Rich thing. And they you know, the mainstream media has pushed this whole Russian deal so much to try to take, the view of the American people away from this kind of thing. Because imagine if you really got to the American people with the fact that according to these stories, we've seen a number of them from WorldNet Daily and other different places where they basically say that, hey, a federal investigator who reviewed an FBI forensic report detailing the contents of this guy's, Seth Rich, his computer generated within 96 hours after his murder. He told Fox News that Rich made contact with WikiLeaks, and the investigator who requested anonymity, you can understand why these guys would request that, because it seems
why, because
like
they don't want to push up daisies, is that why, Kirk?
End up that's right, they end up dead after reporting these things. But anyway, he said 44,000 plus emails and 17,761 attachments between the DNC leaders spanning January 2015 through late May 2016 were transferred from Rich to the WikiLeaks people. This article says, that's a lot of risk, and it cost Seth Rich his very life. Are you ready? And then they quote what John Podesta said in a WikiLeaks email. Here's that. He says, I'm definitely for making an example of a suspected leaker, whether or not we have any real basis for it. And this article says,
in other words, he publicly states he's a criminal, Kurt, because there's supposed to be the due process of law, and people are innocent until proven guilty. And this is the problem that we see here, and these are the statements why we question these cases. I don't know the truth on Seth Rich. I don't know all the pay dirt. I don't have all the who, what, when, where, why answers that we need. But I will say this. There's more here than meets the eye. Why is Sean Hannity getting such a beating? Why are people looking into this getting such a beating? Why are they being threatened with their jobs and their livelihoods just to find out the truth? Hey, Washington, D.C. police, the truth shall set you free. If it was really a robber, or a robbery botched or gone wrong, then the truth will make that known, and it'll be easy and comfortable to investigate that to the nth degree, won't it? But if there's more there than meets the eye, it'll get very squirrely and very uncomfortable quickly. And if we're going to remember our past dead on Memorial Day, can we remember Seth Rich? Remember, Seth Rich was a Democrat. If I'm a conservative, I'm not supposed to care about the Democrats. But we care about all Americans, and we care about the truth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
That ain't my style,
said Casey.
Like what?
The umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
I think I'll just ignore it.
And the umpire said,
right to.
Now something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
follow through!
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun, and tonight there's joy in Mudville.
for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Yes, you are, my fellow Americans, and Sam McCurter live from Memorial Day. How do you like them apples? We're talking about the Seth Rich assassination. He was assassinated for truth, many are saying. And you know what? I'm not here to tell you I have all the pay dirt on this. I don't know all the answers, but I know this. The effort to make sure that nobody touches that case tells me there's more there than meets the eye and something is wrong. If it was really a botched robbery and he was just at the wrong place at the wrong time, as the D.C. police say, then they wouldn't be worried about us looking into that. In fact, they would be helping us. They'd be like, you guys are goofy. Come on. And they'd be rolling out the red carpet for investigations. And well, what's fascinating, exactly right, just Sam, to compare the Ammon Bundy case to that, they did roll out the red carpet for a true investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I'm just giving you a comparison in which we were involved in an investigation just recently to make the point. Why not do that for Seth Rich? Why not do that to the Washington, D.C. police? Why not do that with the Vince Foster case?
Yeah, great.
Just saying.
Point.
All right, go ahead, sir. There's more that meets the eye, this, right?
So, yeah, so this article from PravdaReport.com basically says, you know, they're saying that, hey, there's reports and, you know, credible reports that say that the computer that Seth Rich had was where those leaks came from, and one of the email leaks in there from John Podesta, remember, he was the big shot chief of staff guy for Hillary and all that kind of stuff. He says, I'm definitely for making an example of a suspected leaker, whether or not we have any real basis for it. Then, you know, the article goes, making an example of the suspected leaker, like, say, murdering him. Now, that would be an example. The industry term is plausible deniability. Podesta's email about retaliation against leakers is exactly the, I wish this person would go away, hint, hint, wink, order of the hit. Whoever he sent that email to was probably the point of contact to the team that killed Seth Rich. Think of it like chess, protect the queen. So they probably kept Hillary out of it. The deep state DNC folks are slick. They work it, say no one high up can be, so no one high up can be accused. All they said was, I wish this guy would go away, wink, wink, and somebody much lower orders the wet work. No one higher up would even mutter the words that caused the hit to happen. There's no possible way to get to the higher up. In this environment, there will be no justice for Seth Rich and the scores of others who have been wiped out to keep the deep state humming along. The article continues from PravdaReport.com. So who told Podesta it was Seth Rich? Probably the director of IT or someone else at the top of the IT food chain at the DNC. Because of the scope of the leaks, it would point to someone in IT with admin rights, since individual DNC people wouldn't have open access to other people's emails in that much volume. Is that about right, Sam? I mean, when they're saying this, that's the way
well,
that would work,
yes and
right?
No. Let me explain what I mean. It would need to be an IT person, like you're saying, that was in the know and willing, or it might be somebody who has a relationship with an IT person who uses the trust of the IT person to grant access where other access might not be granted. In other words, the IT person could be played for a sucker, but still be assisting, but not be responsible. Now, they ought to not assist. They ought to not be played for a sucker like that. It's called pretexting in the IT world to do this. But let's say that you're the IT guy, Kurt, and I'm really good. And I say, you know, for this and this and this and this, whatever reasons, I need access to this. And I give you some reasons. And instead of really kind of going, wait a minute, you don't need those reasons, I just go, well, you know what? I love you, Sam, and I trust you. I'm going to give you that access, not really realizing what the real access is for. Well, you may not be guilty of doing it, but you certainly helped it happen regardless, right? Now, asking the right questions and not granting access certainly is the solution, but I bring it up to say it's either an IT person like they're saying, or it could be a little bit more innocent on the IT guy's side than that. He may have been pretexted or conned into Let's say you're an IT guy and you're, you know, and you're an IT guy, a male, and I'm an IT, or I'm sorry, and I'm a DNC or leak or staffer or, you know, a Hillary, whatever, and, or on the other side, and I come to you and bat my eyes, and, you know, maybe I'm even starting to date the IT guy. And all I'm telling you is that's the stuff that kind of happens. So I'm not here to tell you the IT guy's guilty because he's innocent until proven guilty. What I am here to tell you, though, is it's very likely that their point about somebody as an IT-capable person let the access or whatever happen, there's no doubt about it, Kurt, that somehow something like that was in play. But it may not be as simple as we think. Usually there's a lot more political intrigue, and usually most people don't go along with pure evil unless they somehow believe what they're doing is right. Now, maybe they ought to do more due diligence to find out the real story, but oftentimes that doesn't really point to guilt. It points to mistakes. Or, in other words, it doesn't point to evil intent, rather ignorance and stupidity, but not necessarily evil intent. So that would be my take on it, Kurt. And I just do that because I try to be as open and as honest and as fair in my critique and my delivery as possible here. And I'm not here to point the blame on a person. What I am here to do is say, let's not shut it down. Let's find out.
Yeah, imagine the issue is honesty, huh?
Say, yes, sir.
Exactly, you know, then right. This article goes into somebody's goes by the name of Kim.com, and they say he's a notorious character and a dubious source. However, he's in the heat and the thick of the hacker community, which gives him credibility. And here's a full statement is posted on the Kim.com website. He said, I know that Seth Rich was involved in the DNC leak. I know this because in late 2014, a person contacted me about helping me to start a branch of the Internet Party in the United States. I never heard of that, but anyway, he called himself Panda. I now know that Panda was Seth Rich. And then he goes on to say, you know, these different things about this Panda thing. And then he said that he communicated with Panda on a number of topics. He wanted to change that from the inside. I was referring to that when I knew what I did in the interview with Bloomberg. He talks about these different things, but then he says, now here's a gateway pundit story about Panda. And this was Vanity Fair article in January 2016, warning to Seth Rich that his life was in danger, where it says, Hillary Clinton sees the Democratic nomination, and he says, like a priceless vase grabbed by a panda. She'd prefer to shoot the panda, but that could mean breaking the vase, and onlookers would object. Maybe shoot the panda, it says in the article a little more later. You know, so, you know, Sam, there's just too much here that looks, you know, and especially like you said, when the Washington police say, hey, nothing's going on here, and you've got Donna Brazile, big former top dog lady at the DNC saying, hey, you know, leave this alone. You know, there's stuff that ought to be looked into. And
well,
we ought to
and
have
that's
the truth.
Why when Sean Hannity has enough information to stand up and then he gets shut down by Fox, shut down by everybody, the real question for Sean Hannity, and I'm telling you right now, I'm either going to trust Sean Hannity going forward or not trust Sean Hannity going forward based on what he chooses to do here. If he caves to the establishment, stays on at Fox, and shuts his mouth on Seth Rich, you know they've absolutely gotten to Sean Hannity. On the other hand, if Sean Hannity says, no, I'm going to walk, I'm going to stand up on this case, and I'm going to, then you know Sean's a good guy, even if he may have been duped on occasion or, you know, sometimes you ride for the establishment thinking it's all for the best. But at some point, there becomes a critical juncture where you know too much and you say, I can't go along anymore. And that's where Seth Rich got, by the way, even though he is a Democrat. I mentioned, well, we shouldn't be supporting him if he's a Democrat. We're Republicans or we're conservatives and he's a liberal or whatever the divide they want to lie and complain. I don't. I want the truth. I don't care if it's Seth Rich or anybody. And his life, whether I agree with him politically or not, is just as important as the next person's life. And we bring this up because Sean Hannity needs to stand up. He knows enough. He stood up pretty good. Now, but you see this when you start to look in what was that, Vanity Fair?
Well, yeah.
And when you start to look in some of these places and you hear about Donna Brazile and Vanity Fair And then you hear people willing to stand up and say, look, I, you know, and they name the nicknames people used and everything else. And they tie this as close as they've done. At some point, it deserves greater scrutiny. And how can you just say it was a botched robbery? And that there's no relationship here at all if you're the D.C. police. But yet we have all these statements that at the least deserve investigation. If somebody made a mistake or a statement like that about Donald Trump or about Hillary Clinton or any other big time, quote, insider leader, you would basically be going, hey, they're going to have the FBI at their door saying we don't know what's going on here, but we got to investigate these statements or these claims or these. Why isn't the same true when it's turnabout fair play? And this is critical to really understand. And so we're going to keep on the Seth Rich case. Pizzagate has legs and wings, too. If you don't believe me, Ben, oh, what's his name? I keep thinking Ben Carson, but it's not. Ben, oh, man, what's his name, Kurt? He's our buddy Ben that went to BYU.
Oh, yeah, okay, let's see. Swan.
Yeah, Ben Swan. Good, thank you. Sorry, I don't know why that slipped my mind, for crying out loud. He's a personal friend. Anyway, I might forget Kurt's name, though, if people don't help me sometimes. But anyway, Ben Swan stood up on this Pizzagate thing, and he got attacked relentlessly. In fact, shut down completely over it. See, that's an example of where, you know what, if they're not afraid of the Pizzagate thing or the, you know, child molestation rings going on, why would they shut Ben down so hard? Same thing with the Seth Rich thing. If there's really no truth to it, you don't have anything to hide. You don't need to shut it down. In fact, the more transparent you are, the greater chance that we'll have comfortability on the subject. But the more you stonewall and shut people down, the more we say there's got to be more there than meets the eye. All right. Anyway, not only did we mention vote fraud because it's one critical way to protect America, but when you have whistleblowers, protecting them and getting to the bottom of it is just as critical for a free country. And when we have cabals at high levels and people are shut down, that doesn't go well. In fact, one of the most expensive elections ever is happening, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. In Georgia, Sam, where basically they've now spent more than $37 million on, the upcoming district, 6th congressional district there in Georgia. And that's, like almost $10 million more than ever spent on a congressional race.
Well, and the average congressional race is usually about $5 million, not $37 million. And the question becomes, when you dump that kind of money into it, Kurt, is that alone election fraud?
That's a great point.
At some point, you're just buying the office with cash, aren't you?
In the media. Well, and you gotta simply say this. Well, is it just because they want their guy in there, or is there something else going on?
Great question. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We were live for Memorial Day. Thank heavens for all you do for America. This nation shall endure.